Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host Amanda Thebe. I am very excited today because I have strength coach legend Dan John on the show with me. Welcome to the show, Dan. Do you like to be called Daniel or Dan? I know you have your Sunday name on Facebook.
My Sunday name. I usually people I know call me Danny, and then people who don't know me at all call me Coach. And really, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever referred to myself as Dan John, but yeah. You see, call me Dan John all the time. Like I'm, you know,
it's really funny.
Billy Joe, Dan John, but okay. You just call me Dan or Danny, okay?
Okay, that's right. Okay, Coach. I like Coach as well. So one of the reasons I asked you to come on this show, and I'm a big follower of your work anyway, and I know a lot of the people that listen to my show follow you as well, but it's really because of your style of an approach to addressing practical situations in fitness. And so one of I just think that what you do is practical coaching, if I was to describe the way you address people. And that can be either coaches themselves or clients. When I've read your work, I feel like that your words almost translate over to anything in life, not just fitness, right? Because you try and look at things from outside of the box. So one of the things I wanted to ask you to start with is how do you feel in practical terms that fitness has changed, needs to change for us as we age? Like compared to us in our 20s, it's a big, open, huge question, this. But, you know, you look back at when you were in your 20s and where you are now. How do you feel as though your mindset and your physical aspects have changed?
Well, first, you know, I tell people, every intern or assistant I work with, pardon me, that you need to adopt an underserved community. And my wife and I have been talking for about a decade now, is that menopause and postmenopausal women are probably the most underserved in I can think of. I mean, I work with people with MS, I work with people who are deaf, but I got a friend, Sarah Smith, who works with pelvic floor issues. And so I'm constantly trying to push her work because it's such an issue with so many women. And there's no magazines. It's just a complete huge amount of people who are being ignored. And so first off, I want to applaud you for doing it.
Oh, thank you. And you know, that makes me feel so happy because I feel as though the fitness industry in general isn't taking awareness of it. But as I've started talking about it, young coaches, especially male coaches, have been reaching out going, thank you, I need this because this is the men's staple of the fitness industry. These are your clients we're talking about. The women from their late 30s onward are a big part of your business. So you should know about them, right?
So I would break down what I've learned in the last, say, since 79. Let's break it down this way, okay?
Okay.
I always break things down into four big words. Health, longevity, fitness, and then performance. Well, I just read a good thing the other day that said I should actually have a fifth category called movement, which I thought was actually just moving. But so the problem, and there's two problems with our industry, and this is clear those right at the top first. First is that performance athletics, the track and field, swimming, the Olympics, professional sports, is the toolkit for everything else. And to be honest with you, I know that certain people have success with this, but prescribing squat snatch and squat clean jerk for a woman who's 53 years old, why the snatch and clean and jerk? Those are the Olympic lifts we do at the Olympics. Yeah. Now, again, I certainly think you can. I didn't say it's wrong. So problem number one we've had for a while is that these athletes, and there's nothing wrong with that, are telling the rest of us how to use weights, body weight, exercise equipment. The second problem is that fat loss. Everything is fat loss. And the truth is it doesn't always mean what we think it means. So health, I use Matthew Tone's definition, the optimal interplay of the human organs. So when you're looking at your audience, one of the first things I would do is, well, what are your blood profiles? You know, what are your hormone levels? Let's talk about that. I mean, do you have someone working with you? I hate to say this, but my wife kind of got a gift about 2 years ago. And again, I hate to say this, but she had to have a full thyroidectomy. She found out the results came back from this x-ray on Tuesday, and I think she was getting sliced open on Friday.
Wow, they acted quick then, yeah?
Yeah, so the past 2 years, my wife is actually going through the best times of her life. She turns 50 this year, because without a thyroid, everybody has to give a damn about her hormone profile. Yeah,
they do.
So you can't right. just go to the doctor. And so she gets measured all the time. She has good medical intervention on these pills she has to take for her survival. Well, I sat back and went, why doesn't every woman have the same kind of care? And the other thing, if you don't mind throwing this up, I'm not even sure we know what the numbers are for the hormones for postmenopausal. I just don't know if there's been enough backup and study. I mean, just, you know, take 35,000 women, take a blood test, ask everybody how you're feeling, and the ones who are feeling pretty good, look at their numbers. The ones who are feeling terrible, look at their numbers, and let's just see what happens.
And I think as well, doing the hormonal testing, and most doctors who will agree to this, is you have to take multiple because it fluctuates from day to day. And your wife will probably see that numbers change like hourly even sometimes. And so that's one of the crazy times of a woman's life, is she doesn't know what to expect right now, right?
The next word, right. And then the next word is longevity.
Yep.
And women have, they have the advantage on that. Or at least they did. At least they did. And, you know, some research is saying that ever since we killed off all the parasites, the advantage women have is iron in the blood. And many women, once they stop menses, begin to see that the iron begins to accumulate in their blood. And I'm just saying, well, there's a whole other area we need to discuss, frankly, honestly, and with some good science. It's funny. Someone said the other day, I'm not very sciencey. It's like, you know nothing of my work, you know? And the next word is fitness. And there's the biggest problem we have, because fitness is to be able to do a task. Well, what tasks do you want to do? That's a whole set of questions. And finally, there's this word called performance.
Performance, yeah.
Before we even get started, I mean, I feel like with the first three, we're baby stepping what we do with a massive population of our humans.
Thank you. And you know why I completely agree with that is because we've just not been given the attention, right? And like it's okay, people saying, oh, women in their 40s, 50s, 60s can still do HIIT exercises, and there's all these Les Mills studios everywhere with the women jumping all over the place. And I'm like, how do you know what this is going to do to their like hormonal profile as far as stress is concerned, as far as like even their joint stability? All of these areas I think need to be looked at in like a big whole holistic way, because a lot of the work doesn't fit women. Like the Olympic lifting, love it, love watching it. I've tried it. I'll only do it with a coach. I mean, I've only ever done it with Will Fleming, and that's the only person I would ever do it with. And I'm 25 years into this industry. There's too many ifs and buts when it comes to that type of sure. skill. You have to have good training. But when we're talking about general population women, we need to, their health is their biggest concern, and their mental health too.
And here's the thing. I've never been a fan of compartmentalizing mental, social, the whole family of goals, emotional, you know, physical. I'm much more from the Western tradition of body, mind, soul, and spirit as one. And I think that's actually helped me in some cases, because I think before we see, and I could be totally wrong, But very often with mental issues, call them whatever, let's just say meth, there is also a component of social, nutritional.
Of course, yes.
So one of the things I worry about also, if you don't, and this is now we're going maybe too far, but it's great that I just said we should take blood tests, but we also may need to make sure we step back and look at the big picture. You know, what other stressors are going on that we just go, oh, no big deal. Edna works in a building with no lights, fluorescent lights, air, you know, recirculated air all day, and the filters haven't been cleaned in 40 years. Oh, yeah, she's not eating enough kale. Well, okay, kale, and the fact hasn't seen the sun in 10 years. You know, so I do think it's more multiple. It's more.
It is, and that's how I like to talk to the like my clients and my followers as well. It's like you can't just look at one aspect of your life right now. You have to know the sleep, hydration, nutrition, your mindset, like the way you approach the day, you know, your like the positivity you have, as well as your exercise, and as well as you know, your interactions with your partners. Everything matters. And actually what tends to happen is if one of those components slightly gets knocked off key, then the whole day is ruined. And it's really down to a woman's coping mechanism during menopause, because their coping skills are lessened slightly purely because of their fluctuating cortisol levels. And so I know that a lot of women will approach me and say, you know, about fat loss. And I know we've spoken about this like at the beginning there, but fat loss is huge for them because their body's shape is changing. And it's sort of one of those things that there has to be an element of acceptance, because for good hormonal health, we do need an element of fat there. But we also need to have an acceptance that it's okay to still, you don't have to be like stick thin. Like that's, who said that that's healthy? I mean, it's the day and age now where we need to move on from looking at all of these fitness models and saying that is not healthy. That's not what real people look like. We create your own vision of what you think is healthy, and let's work towards that.
Well, and it's going to take one instance to change everything.
Yeah.
Was it 1922? Coco Chanel went to the Riviera, and she came back with a great tan. And it's in the United States and much of Western Europe, with her great tan, women went from being as white as they possibly could to getting themselves in the sun as often as they could. One person, Coco Chanel, changed everything.
Changed everything. We need a Coco Chanel for menopause. Who can that be?
We actually have a Christy Brinkley a couple years ago when she was, I think she's about 65 now, but when she was 63, she did this thing and everybody remarked about how great she looked. And her point was very simple. You know, it was funny. I sleep, I eat quality food, I exercise every day, because exercise keeps everything moving. Which basically is true. I mean, we humans are skin that cover a bunch of tubes, you know? And I thought it was really inspiring because, you know, I mean, certainly she's obviously one of the most lovely women in the world, but it was nice to see the affirmation for the basics from her.
Yeah, the basics. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about. That's so great, because leading into that, that's what I was going to say. There's no real rocket science behind this. It's just stick to the basics, because the basics work. That's what I constantly keep going back to. And so I remember you saying something along the lines of, you know, people, I'll probably word this wrong, but it was something about like, when people have a new skill, they tend to overthink it. And I think you were talking about exercise there, but to me, this can be a new skill, like consistently eating well, or consistently getting good sleep, or consistently staying hydrated. And all of those things, I think people are like, oh my God, I have to like drink all of this water at this time. And it becomes a stressor when it doesn't need to. Whereas if they sort of dumb down the information a little bit and just take the practicalities from it, I feel as though that's like a huge win for them. Do you?
Well, I was able to prove years ago that to get rid of carbohydrate cravings, just sleep more. But to sleep more, so a good night's sleep starts at about 7 or 8 o'clock that night, where you start to wind down. You might take your supplements. You might turn off the TV set, turn off the computer. read a good book, but to get people to realize that the importance of not only sleep, but that sleep preparation period is so important. So when someone talks to me about, I'm going to do this on Monday, I tell them, no. On Sunday night, you set the stage for Monday. Because if you get, I tell people, I strive for about 9 hours sleep a night.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Twice on the road, it sneaks up to 10 and 11. I go to bed really early and I sleep. And of course, I wake up at about 5 and I feel great. And by the time I work out at 9:30 in the morning, I've had 4 solid hours of writing, answering stuff, you know, working on things. And people say, how do you get it all done? It's like, well, sleep. And the funny thing is, if you get your sleep, you tend to make better. So if I get enough sleep, I don't have to take, well, obviously I drink coffee when I wake up, but I don't need to take any additional stimulants the rest of the day. If I start my day with coffee, I drink, like right now, I have water in my hand. It's just that because I'm ahead of the game. Now, if you get 4 hours sleep, then you're looking for monster drinks and chemical drinks all day long to keep that engine going. And the truth is, now you're cutting into the next day and then the next day. So I think the secret to fat loss is sleep. A couple of years back, stone maybe even.
Yes, I'm a stone lady, but that's a long time ago. But I can do either. I'm diverse.
One time I wanted to get down to 94 kilos for weightlifting.
Yeah.
And I went from 105 to 95, 96 in 1 week by emphasizing 12 hours of sleep of night. And I was zero carbing, but I never once had a carb crave because my body didn't need it. And I jumped on the scale and I was only a few, just a teeny bit away from where I needed to be, which is easy. You can always easily lose. Ladies, don't try this at home. But it's really easy for a weigh-in at a weightlifting meet. You know, the second you weigh in, just eat.
Eat, yeah, I know.
your weight's way back up. But it was nice. It was a good little experiment for me because I proved to myself that my carbohydrate cravings more reflect the night before than they reflect anything else about my day.
So the preparation that you take to go to your sleep is key, right? Because we don't want to stress our body. And basically it's the stress response to the lack of sleep, right? Is that what causes the cravings, right?
And then people tell me like, oh, I've got all this stuff in my mind. And I tell them, well, always have, in fact, I'm right there is my to-do list. It's a tiny little pocket notebook. And whenever something comes up, whatever it is, I write it down. And the reason you have to write it down, even if it's something like on the list right now, is I need a printing cartridge. Printing cartridge, it says. Well, I'm going to go pick it up, and then I'm going to scratch it out. The reason is, when I see all the lines scratched out, I feel very successful. And that, if I do it, if I'm going to do my to-do list at 7 o'clock at night for the next day, the moment I put it down on paper, the little squirrels in my brain stop. They stop running and allow me to ease off and de-stress and go to sleep.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like me, I'm the same thing. I have my little notebook as well, and maybe we're old school, but it works. It works for me too. And
I tried the notes on my phone.
No,
it took me too. I could never find them. I mean,
oh my goodness. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is what often happens with women that I've found and like through conversations a bit more anecdotally is that, you know, they do go through a stage of losing some belief in themselves, and then that in turn sort of impacts their ability to like want to thrive again. So they almost lose their hunger, as you've said, you know, people do lose their hunger, and it happens potentially to women a little bit more, I've noticed in conversation. And I think that this is maybe a multifactorial thing. It might be because of their stage of life. It might be because they're empty nesters. It might be because they're in a squeezed generation with, you know, older parents. It can be lots of life changing. It usually is multifactorial. But one of the things you said is you found that in yourself as well, as a male, that when you reached over 40, things didn't, like, that urge, that drive wasn't quite there. So how do you suggest that somebody tries to sort of overcome that or find that mojo again?
So how do you rein it back in?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say, you said, I trust anecdotal evidence more than I trust most science studies.
Yeah.
The reason is, when you do a science study, you're only supposed to have a scientific study. You're only supposed to have one variable. But when someone's living their life and you say, so all of a sudden around age 41, 42, you started getting fat. Yeah. Well, when was the last time? Well, how did you notice you were getting fat? Well, I noticed the scale going up. Oh, but in the 10 years prior, did you notice did your sizes change? Oh, yeah, I went from, on the female side, a 4 to a 6 to an 8 to a 10. Huh. So that'll give me a chance to talk about lean body mass it wasn't overnight. Lean body mass changes were happening for about a decade, but since your measurement was a scale, things weren't really happening. And that's why I like using clothes. Clothes are remarkable for weight loss, for size, fat loss measurements.
Yes.
So is a tape measure. So the first thing, if you don't mind, I'm going to just kind of backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the bigger problems we have is that a lot of people think that magically this comes upon us. And honestly, if you're honest with yourself, you keep a journal or you even just have a bunch of pictures around, you can sometimes see that what you thought was happening, I mean, I hate to use the iceberg analysis, you know, example. You only see 10% at the top and 90% at the bottom. Very often, when people finally notice something, it's been going on a long time. I think that's one of the reasons you need to go to an annual medical review. For example, I have a little issue with skin cancer, and because I want someone to stand there and look at me and say, oh, because I can't see my own spots because they're there.
You know? I agree. I mean, these things that they almost snowball, right? And it's like, I always use the analogy of like people with bad backs. It's like having a credit card that they've bent and bent and bent, and one day it just snaps, and it never just snaps straight away. It's like something that just builds up and builds up and builds up. And it's so, yeah. And I think that what we do is we try as we change, maybe we've lost some lean muscle mass, we've got fatter, we're tired, or you know, we look for one for blame. And we also look for quick solutions. And I think neither of those two are very helpful to us. I think, I don't know how you feel about this, but often we know that these things happen over time. And one of the things I do ask people to do is just for a week, like record down what you were feeling, what you were eating, how much you slept, how much you drank, and just see if, and usually that's all they need to do to say, oh, look, I didn't realize I drank a bottle of wine every night. You know, usually there's something there.
I always use the example from my brother's Karamazov. Father Zissima has a woman come visit him, and she says, Father, I lost my faith. And this famous little dialogue ensues, and he says famously, how did you lose it? And she goes, bit by bit. And then he says, well, you'll have to bring it back bit by bit. And I would love to be able to sit down with someone and say, okay, you were in the best shape of your life when you were 20 and then didn't do anything until today, and now you're 50, so that's 30 years. So you want me to undo 30 years of bad sleep, bad food, lots of drinking, lots of amphetamines, lots of whatever, and how many days you're going to give me? Yeah. Today?
Do it in 6 weeks, Dan. I want to look great in 6 weeks.
If you give me 6 weeks, I got a better chance than if you give me 6 hours.
All right, 21 days.
Yeah, 21 days, 14 days, 6 week boot camps, all that stuff. So one of the things I think we need to do a little bit with everybody we work with is kind of, I call it the mom and dad talk, is when you basically said, it took you a while to undo some good habits that you claim you used to have and to get in this place we're at now. So I'm not going to say it's going to take 30 years to get back, but I am going to say that there are a lot of things. Now, here's the one thing, Amanda, I think this is the big key, is that like getting out of shape snowballs, getting back into good condition snowballs too.
It does, doesn't it? It's not slow once the momentum builds, right?
An hour or two extra sleep at night makes you wake up a little happier, which makes you make a better choice for whatever you decide to eat, drink, or whatever. You feel better because of the extra sleep. So maybe you walk up the flight of stairs instead of waiting for the elevator. All those, and it's funny because it's click, 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 and it just all of a sudden, this is a massive thing rolling down the hill. And that has been, in my experience, very true.
And I think, sorry, carry on. I apologize. I was just going to say that's what I think, because I did lose my mojo and I got a little bit scared and things, and it was crazy to feel that way. But then that's exactly what I did. I started really focusing on my sleep and nutritionally just being a bit more careful. Nothing crazy, but just being aware, having an awareness about my food, and things just started to get better. And then all of a sudden I was brave again. And I know that sounds really silly, but it was the thing that got me to get to go back to the gym, to get me moving again, laughing, social again.
I know, absolutely. And if you don't feel good enough about yourself, so you don't want to put on gym clothes or whatever. So it just all of a sudden extra walls start popping up, popping up, popping up. And you have to break down. When someone first comes to me, it seems the silliest thing when I tell them, like I tell people, search for vegetables at every meal. So if you go to a restaurant, you know, order like I do at every meal, I always order extra vegetables here, 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 and here. And they say, well, how do you do that? It's like, you just ask the waiter.
Sorry, that was funny.
Yeah. But then I have to stop and remind myself that this person's idea of healthy eating
is not yours.
So screwed up because of the food industry, that is coffee good for me? Is coffee bad for me?
Yeah.
I heard legumes have something in them that, and then peanuts, oh my God, peanuts, and then oh my God, this. And so what can, don't eat meat. It's got antibiotics, and fish has meat. No wonder these poor people can't make a decision.
I know.
But once you get the momentum, it all just seems to go very smoothly.
All just comes back, doesn't it? And so I know we don't have a huge amount of time, and just going through the list, you had health, longevity, fitness, performance, and potentially movement. One of the questions I have and that I get asked all the time, I mean, I do coach people as well, but what are your, I know that you believe in the basics matter, you push, pull, hinge, squat, and you say loaded carries, but we're women, we carry shit, so, you know, whatever, we go to the supermarket and carry bags and our kids and stuff, but where would you suggest somebody start? Like somebody who hasn't moved for 30 years is really not happy with the way she is in her life, and she knows she needs to make a positive change. And one of those positive changes is strength training. She's like, I know this is what my body needs, osteoporosis, I have a good, strong, healthy heart. I want to do all of these positive things. What are the few things that you would suggest she does?
I'm going to give you two exercises and then just some.
Yeah.
Farmer walk and goblet squat. If I can get people to farmer walk and do goblet squats, all their dreams come true.
Okay, and delve deeper into that for me.
Because the farmer walks make you have proper posture. You can always farmer walk with more weight than you think you can. And you're moving and you're... It's funny because I recommend farmer... you're a Kiwi, right? Oh, sorry.
No, I'm English. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. When you said...
stones.
Yeah, you said something I thought was... you're English. Okay. So...
you're forgiven. It's okay. Move on.
So with women, they can easily carry up to 40 kilos per hand. And it's remarkable how fast that happens. And the changes that come around are just stunning. And it builds a thing we call work capacity, whatever that means. But if you're getting my point was, there's a sport called American baseball. You would know cricket then?
Yeah.
Okay, so cricket, American baseball, the way we protect those guys' shoulders now is with farmer walks. I'm no physio, I don't understand it, but everyone nods and goes, yes, it's perfect, so I agree.
I can imagine. I mean, I do farmer's walks, and just the last serratus engagement and just the whole core You have to really be very resistant to the core and the glutes to ensure that you don't lose your posture. So they are fabulous. I do like them. I think the limiting factor for some women tend to be grip strength, but it really is good for building grip strength.
So that's good. Isn't it nice to know what the limiting factor is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it takes me 3 seconds to teach this exercise, and you master it in 3 minutes. Win. And you, so your grip isn't strong enough. Well, we all know the importance of grip with longevity. So next would be the goblet squat, because the goblet squat can increase mobility, and it just does good things for the way the body works. Now, I can teach those within minutes. From there, I would have to take a little longer to teach proper hinge. And then, well, I got to tell you, when in doubt, work the glutes.
Yeah, always.
And for females, work the overhead press. When in doubt, glutes and overhead press. Yanda taught us this half a century ago, and it's never been proven wrong. So we might not have much of a workout the first day, but this is where we begin. This is how we start.
No, this is great, and it's very practical advice as well. And the thing is, there's no reason to do fancy moves all the time. I mean, the basics work, and the basics are easy to build on. So once you're really proficient in these basics, then the world's your oyster when it comes to working out. But this is done with, you need 2 kettlebells, that's it. Or you can even have one heavy kettlebell and do single arm farmer's walks.
Yeah, we call those suitcase carriers. Yeah,
suitcases, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you nutrition. Ready? Protein, veggies, water. Eat those, have those at every meal. It's that simple. What's the best recovery plan? Sleep. So it really does, you get to the point sometimes where people actually almost make fun of me but everything I just told you, those are the best. And if you're not doing the best things, in my system, we do this thing called cost-to-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
Grades from the American system. Water, veggies, protein. Those are the A-grade foods. Kettlebells and, check that. Goblet squats and farmer walks, I give those the A grades. Those are for the least amount of work, you get the most benefit. And sleep. You don't have to work very hard to sleep 9 hours a night. Now, someone's going to raise their hand and say, I don't have the time. And I guarantee if you and I had an honest conversation, time would show up. You know, we're just some basic fundamental, life. When you say life decisions, life, what would be the thing?
Well, it's like choices, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to spend an hour on Facebook before you go to bed, then you're not going to get any sleep, are you? One of the issues a lot of women have through menopause is insomnia. It's just one of those symptoms of it, and sometimes awakening because of hot flashes. And so it's sort of sometimes difficult for them to get a solid night's sleep. But there's still solutions around that they can work with, which I try and, just even just having a sleep protocol is huge. It can make the difference between you get in like 4 hours of broken sleep to get in like a solid 6 to 7 hours, which is sometimes a lot for some people. Right. So, but I know that sleep's huge. I know you said anecdotal advice is sometimes preferable, but the sleep studies have proven for weight loss.
Oh, I know. But the thing is, we talk about this here in the States sometimes. I'm going to send you down to an all-inclusive vacation. Booze, all the food you want, and we're going to weigh you. Now, I know weighing is the lowest end, but that's okay. We're going to weigh you before you go. The day you get back, I'm going to say, let's weigh you. Oh, no, don't weigh me. But if we pop you on the scale, almost universally, people lose weight on all-inclusive vacations because they sleep, they nap, they get in the sun, they hang out in water, their stress level goes from 10 to 2. Their biggest stress, are they going to have lunch at the Italian place or lunch at the Mexican food place?
That's true.
And they come back and I don't know if you've ever noticed people who come back from all-inclusive. The only reason I keep adding all-inclusive because it's all you can eat and all you can drink. That's why I keep mentioning, okay? And so you come back, oh no, I ate and drank all day long. Really, you ate and drank all day long. Tell me about a typical day. Well, I'd sleep into 11. Okay, so already what you said is not true because 11 is a whole big part of the day. And then you got, and then what'd you do? Well, I drank some coffee. Okay. We walked down and we had, and then they'll tell, they had an omelet, and then with the omelet, they had some champagne, and then went for a long walk at the beach. They played in the sand and they had a little snack. And then when you sit down and you talk to them, you probably eat less.
Yeah. Less calories that day than usual because you're, and yeah. Also, yeah. And you're probably in the relaxed state as well, the de-stressing.
Faces, they go from beet red with the cortisol inflammation to tan or burned, whatever, you know, depending, you know, if someone from England burned, but you know, it's very interesting to have this conversation. I've often thought that if I could have an all-inclusive fat loss form, the reason everybody would lose fat is because I'd make everybody sleep. You know, brunch would start at 11 and all we'd have is hot coffee. And then you had to walk a quarter mile, 400 meters to get to the food. As we know, if you can just walk for about 10 minutes for every meal, it does wonders for your back problems. That's simple. I mean, it'd be that simple. At the end of a month, you'd be in the best shape of your life, having done practically nothing the entire month.
Yeah.
Because you did nothing.
Yeah, I almost like the idea of you, Dan John's Fat Farm. Right. I think that could be a thing.
I will be there.
I love your practical advice. I find it really, it's just really refreshing. And I just know that, the basics work. And just coming from somebody who's been in the industry for so long and has proven this and written about this, it's just really great to hear because I get so tired of all of the like pseudoscience and all of the scaremongering that happens in this industry. It's just rife, and it's especially when women are so vulnerable. And like you were saying, these women are underserved. And then anytime they do see any information, it's almost like they're being preyed upon. And so it's time that we just change that narrative, I think, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And, carry on.
Yeah, you say change the narrative, and I was just going to say, and that's one of the biggest problems we have, is that smart people let the narrative get taken over. The narrative now is fat makes you fat, you burn fat off by, you know, training in hot temperatures and stretching. All these myths that have never been supported are the narrative that most people, if they could even follow the discussion, get caught up in. So it's not, you know, I mean, people still think that exercise makes you muscle bound. You know, I know.
And I mean, I think that there's enough of us shouting about that now, women. I mean, especially the women who I try and get on my show as well, they're really strong, beautiful, empowering women. Got Annie coming on. Annie Breeze, a friend of yours. I know you'll be happy about that. She's a great role model for people. She's just changing the narrative. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's true. It's changing the narrative, you know. It is. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't think we can. Honestly, I think, I don't know about the other nations, but here in the United States, there's almost a newfound pride in ignoring science. And what do those guys know? They keep changing. Those scientists keep changing every day what they say. Well,
good, because then it keeps the information current.
Yeah, it's 6 months ago, Dan, you said it was 2017. Now you're saying it 2018. What is it?
What's the deal with that, John? I'm really happy that you feel like the topic of menopause is so important. And I'm glad that you got your wife in your corner shouting about this too, because yeah. I feel like I've got a loud mouth. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm glad that you're on board too. Your advice is great, so practical. And I know people will listen to this and be really thankful. I was going to sort of end by calling you like I read somewhere like someone called you the Rodan of fitness world, the thinker, and it's true. You're the Rodan of the fitness world. So there you go. You can leave knowing that I think you're. I like to hear what you've got to say, and I know that we went off on a few tangents, but it's just so great to know that.
If you don't mind, if you want to be considered a high level thinker, if it means you have to work about 20 seconds a day thinking, and you'll be years ahead of everybody else. Most people, one of our three word catchphrases for my coaches are this: proactive, not reactive. And so I'm constantly trying, harping is a, I don't know if it translates. I'm always on my athletes' cases. Think before you, look before you leap. Think 30 seconds of thinking. Look at these two sets of facts. You know, broccoli makes you fat. Take 20 seconds while you're reading the article to think, does this at all fit any measure of your reality? Well, no, it doesn't. Then stop reading that article, for God's sakes, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's it's almost like a lost art,
yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should all just do it every day for everything, because there's so much information out there, like I was saying, and people don't know where to go. But thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, yeah.
Thank you to your wife, too, for telling you how important it is. I applaud her.
I'm sure the word telling would be the exact right word, but I heard her, okay?
Oh, you listened? No, there's a strength I admire. You listen to your wife. That's great. Thank you so much. Take care. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right. Let me know when you put it live and I'll share it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.